So if you've ever had to deal with finances in a relationship, you probably know that even having a conversation about money can be difficult.
And it's not just the big things like splitting rent or talking about how much credit card debt you have. Even the small things can be tough, like figuring out how often one partner pays for dinner, or if you should just split the bill every time instead.
Bola Shakunbi is a certified financial education instructor and the founder and CEO of Clever Girl Finance, an online platform for financial education geared towards women. Bola, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Rob.
Bola, before we get into couples and relationships, what got you started on personal finance and financial literacy, especially with women in mind?
It really stems from my own story. So I started out saving money, and at the time I had just graduated from college, and I couldn't find any resources that I could relate to as a woman. All the finance books I was reading and the blogs I was reading were things that were started by men. And I was like, why not start something to empower other women like me who want to achieve financial success? So that was the beginning of my journey.
Now let's get into how couples deal with money. I think one thing that's really easy to do is to not talk about money and finances. Why is it important for couples to open up the lines of communication?
Oh, that's so important, because when you get into a relationship, you are now on the same team. It's essentially a partnership, and you want to make sure that your goals are aligned. You want to make sure that you're laying all your cards on the table and you know what each person is thinking, especially as you're working to pay off debt and save money and also pursue your long-term financial goals.
How can a couple make the transition from separate to shared finances smoothly? Is it best to do it all at once, or is it good to go in stages?
So this is a question I get asked pretty often, and, you know, it really depends on the couple, and it really depends when you're getting, you know, into the relationship. You know, for younger couples, when they don't really have a lot of financial obligations, it's easier to merge your finances. But for people who are getting into relationships when they already have their own separate financial obligations, it might be a little bit more complicated. So a few things you can do, like I said, number one is you want to be able to lay all your cards on the table. It's all about creating open lines of communication. How much are you earning? You want to share that with your partner. How much debt do you have? You want to put that on the table as well. And you also want to tell them, what do you want to accomplish for yourself? How do you imagine your life 5 years, 10 years from now? Be able to share your goals with that person. And then once you've laid all your cards on the table, you want to then start talking about, how do you create a plan together? So essentially, who's going to be paying for what, right? Who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to pay the light bill? How are you going to split the cost of groceries? You also want to talk about, how do you plan to save money for the future, and how do you plan to pay off debt? What percentage of your income will get designated to these, you know, different avenues, depending on how much debt you guys have or what your saving goals are? And if you are in a serious relationship where you're pursuing marriage, then you want to sit down and decide if you guys are going to have a prenup or no prenup, and talk about that financial aspect as well.
We're talking to Bola Shakunbi. She's CEO and founder of Clever Girl Finance. We're talking about money in the context of a relationship, how to resolve some of those difficult issues that can really be a big problem if you don't deal with them. Bola, I think in a lot of couples over the years, the money side of things might fall to one partner and not the other. And maybe it's the person who's better at it. I don't know. But what is, and even if people are okay with one or the other being more specialized in dealing with the issues, how much, what's the bare minimum that the other person needs to know about the financial situation?
I think it's important to know everything. I mean, even if you're not contributing, let's say we have a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mom, or, you know, depending on the situation, one person's out of work, it's important to know what's happening with the finances. Is one person struggling to pay bills? Is one person falling behind on meeting the savings goals? You know, two heads are better than one, so it's easy to have a conversation, especially if you guys are on the same page. You know, not being on the same page is a different conversation. But if you guys are on the same page, it's important to, it's basically full disclosure. You want to know what's going on. And one thing I like to tell people, especially couples in relationships, serious relationships, is that when it comes to money, it's not a battle. It's not a whole production. It's, you know, it's something that you want to talk about often in conversation. So it just becomes part of, like, you know, your day-to-day, oh, I paid this light bill, or you know, how are we going to plan for 2019, it's, you want it to be part of your natural conversation, you know, periodically, and not a huge massive production once every year, because once it becomes this production, it can get overwhelming, and then it might start to lead to conflict in that relationship because you guys are not talking about it often enough.
Yeah, you wrote a blog post, I think it was last summer, where you say, you know, don't approach this as a fight, as a battle. And one way to do that is to, I guess, schedule those conversations, you know, before that conflict might arise.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So it could be, you know, if you are the one who wants to have the money conversation or initiate the conversation, it could be bringing up over dinner or sending a text message saying, you know, hey, I'd love to talk about money when you talk about this particular bill when you get home, or, you know, in a nice and kind voice, like, you know how, you know how you relate with your partner. And also, it's important to keep in mind that you don't have to talk about all of your finances, your entire financial situation in one sitting. You can divvy it up into different conversations. So this week you talk about investing. Next week you talk about paying off your debt. The following week you talk about budgeting. So it's all about pacing yourself and approaching it as a marathon, not a sprint.
And you talked earlier about getting on the same page. And people might come into a relationship with very different ideas about money, the role of money, planning about money, maybe even ideas that they haven't consciously thought about. How do you start to get on that same page?
Getting on the same page is so important. And, you know, it's important to know your significant other's money type. What kind of person are they when it comes to money? Are they a saver? Are they a splurger? Are you a saver or a splurger? And once you're able to identify that, then it makes planning your finances together easier. And it's also important to keep in mind that there is no wrong way to manage your finances in your relationship as long as you guys get on the same page, because there are a lot of philosophies out there as to how couples should manage their finances. You must have joint accounts. You should not do this. You should not do that. That does not apply to you. You guys need to sit down together as a couple and decide what's going to work best for us. Is a joint account going to work best for us? Are separate accounts going to work best for us? Like, how are we going to manage it so that we don't drive each other crazy about this whole, you know, financial planning? And you also want to be willing to compromise. So, for instance, in my relationship with my husband really likes electronics and things like that, and they cost a good amount of money. And I like shoes. So we came to an agreement very early on in our marriage that if we're going to be spending money over a certain amount, that we would pick up the phone or send each other a text message to talk about it before we made the transaction. That way we're on the same page and there's no surprises when the statement comes at the end of the month, or I don't have to hide my shopping bags, my trunk of my car. So it's all about coming to a compromise and understanding each other's money types.
Yeah, that point illustrates something you wrote in that blog post I mentioned. Honesty is something you want to see people do. And I could see situations where maybe a partner doesn't want to tell the other person about an expenditure, not, you know, because of nefarious purposes, but maybe they're a little ashamed that they spent that much money or had that much debt or something like that. What kind of damage can that do?
Oh, that can do, you know, a ton of damage. I've talked to, you know, ladies who their relationships have gone south because they did not disclose the fact that they were in so much debt with their significant other. And as you probably know, money is number one reason, or the top reason up there, why marriages disintegrate. And so it's important to have the conversation. And if you're with that person that really cares about you, that really, you know, is concerned about your well-being, even if they're upset in that moment when you tell them, hey, I spent this amount or I have this much debt, they will come around. And if you're able to communicate properly the fact that you want to adjust, you know, what has happened, you want to make change around what has happened, you guys will be able to come to a resolution to move forward from there. And so it's not always, the conversation around money is not always an easy one, but if you approach it the right way and you're honest from the start, or as soon as you can be honest about it, everybody involved will hopefully get over their anger or disappointment, and then you guys can focus on creating a plan.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. We're picking up our conversation with Bola Shakunbi. She's with Clever Girl Finance, and we're talking about how to deal with money issues in a relationship.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What money issues have you dealt with in your relationship or past relationships? What are some of the things you think are hardest to talk to your partner about when it comes to money? And what kind of solutions have you come up with? What worked for you? Do you have questions for Bola about dealing with money issues in a relationship? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, what did you want to bring up?
Oh, no. when my wife and I first started dating, we were really poor. We didn't have any money. And so money was like really hot off topic. Well, now it's even getting worse. I mean, I've got a good union job. She's got a good job. But I still don't know where the money is goes. And I noticed that, like I'm 47 years old, but I still play PlayStation. So, like, last night I bought a PlayStation game. And, of course, the sales fee disappeared. But we just don't know how to get onto a budget. That's the only thing we fight about. And it's a super hot topic. I mean, oh my gosh, we fight all the time about finances. Nick, I just don't know how to get on a budget. I really don't know how to do it.
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Perfect question, Bola. So how can Nick and his wife, A, get on track with tracking their money, maybe setting up a budget, and do so in a friendly way?
Great question. So the first thing you guys want to do is schedule some time, maybe once a month or every 2 weeks, that you put on your calendar that is going to be your money conversation time. And during this time, you guys want to talk about the things you want to buy, the expenses that you have, and basically get on the same page. Again, it's all about keeping your lines of communication open so that you don't get to the point where that PlayStation game has been purchased and it becomes a fight. Instead, you're talking about the fact that you want to buy a PlayStation game and this is what it's going to cost, and then you guys can plan it. The other thing you want to do is you definitely want to get onto a budget. And it's important that when you think about budgeting, you want to make it as easy as possible for both of you to plan out your finances. So there's a couple of things you can do. You can sit down with a spreadsheet and write out all of your expenses, write out your income, and plan that way using a spreadsheet. You guys can decide to do it on pen and paper, or you guys can leverage budgeting apps that are free. There are a ton of them. A really popular one is Mint, and you can find that at mint.com, and start to use that to plan out your finances. Keep in mind that when it comes to budgeting, it's like learning to ride a bike or learning how to swim. You have to practice in order to do better with it each month. And so if you find that you're slipping up or you're falling behind, then the next month is another opportunity for you to work at it again. One example of something that my husband and I do to kind of minimize money fights is, you know, we both know based on our budget what our obligations are when it comes to paying off bills, when it comes to our long-term future plans. And then once we've contributed to that budget, we have extra money that gets designated into our own individual accounts, and that's the money that we can use to do the things that we want to do without having to explain to the other person. So I don't have to tell my husband, oh, I bought a pack of gum, for example.
Thanks a lot for that call, Nick. Good luck to you and your wife, and I hope that helps. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. And on that theme of budgeting, Bola, I've heard the case made that don't just budget and try to cut spending and feel like you're denying yourself something. Try to figure out whether you're a couple or an individual. Set a goal. What are you saving for? Whether that's, you know, retirement savings, or we want to buy a new couch next year or something like that. How important is that kind of financial goal setting in motivating us to make that budget?
That's super important. You have to make accommodations for the things that make you happy. So a lot of people think about budgeting as this restrictive thing that only shows them how to pay off debt and pay bills. And that's actually, like, you know, not the right way to think about it. When you think about your budget, you want to think about the bills you're going to pay and the debt you have to pay off and the savings you have to make. But your budget is also going to allow you to plan your finances for the things that you love. So a line item on your budget, in addition to saving for retirement or saving to pay, you know, or paying your monthly bills, could be saving for a family vacation. And you have a line item where every month you are saving a specific amount of money for your family vacation or to buy something nice, like a new TV. But it's all about giving your dollars a job to do. And your budget is basically the plan that allows you to give each dollar you earn a job to do. So they're all designated to different places, including the things that will make you happy. So it doesn't feel like punishment.
Talking to Bola Shakunbi, certified financial education instructor, founder and CEO of Clever Girl Finance. She's helping navigate money and financial issues for couples at any stage in a relationship. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You know, we've talked a lot about the money side, and you've touched on this next question a little, but how can we take some of the emotion out of the money issues?
Oh, my God, that is such a tricky one because money is tied to emotion. When you have a lot of it, you feel super happy. When you don't have enough of it, you can get anxious and angry and depressed. But it's important to be objective about your finances and remember that your money is a tool. It's a tool to help you achieve your goals. And so instead of focusing on the actual money, focus on what it is that you want to accomplish with your finances in your life, you know, the goals that money can help you attain, and break it down from that perspective. So if one of your goals is to take your whole family on a trip to, you know, an exotic location in 2 years from now, then that's the thing you want to keep in mind as you're planning out your budget, as you're thinking about ways you can cut down your expenses, and also thinking about ways that you can increase your income. And so one area where people struggle with budgeting is that they just focus on cutting back the expenses. But there's only so much of your expenses that you can cut back without feeling that things are really, really tight. So another area that you and your significant other can start to think about is, what ways can we increase our income so that we can kind of get some relief on, you know, the money stress we may be feeling. So it could be getting a part-time job. One of you gets an additional part-time job to your full-time job. It could be that you both start applying to better paying jobs. It could be that you guys think about starting a side hustle, something that, you know, you guys or one of you is really good at, that you get compliments on, that you can start using to generate additional income. Or it could be looking around the house that you live in and figuring out, okay, what things do we have that we can get rid of that we can sell on eBay or Facebook Marketplace or take to a consignment store to bring in some extra income to support, you know, relieving the stress on our budget.
Now, we've got a generation of younger adults now that is, in a lot of ways, still recovering from the Great Recession 8 years ago. Their starting incomes were maybe lower than previous generations, maybe higher student loan debt if they went to college. Do you have any advice for younger adult couples still trying to dig out from that situation?
So the student loan debt crisis is a big one, but it's important to, again, remain objective. It can be overwhelming to think about the fact that you have a ton of student loan debt to pay off or that you're not earning a ton of money. But, it's, you know, as you navigate through your finances, you want to make sure that specifically when it comes to your student loan debt, that you know what your student loan debt is. A lot of times people sign up for student loans 4 or 5 years ago and they don't remember what they all are. Know what they are. Know what your interest rates are. If you are struggling to pay your student loan debt, make sure you're communicating with your loan servicer. And when it comes to your income, it's all about getting creative and thinking about how do you cut back your expenses, but how can you increase your income? And getting lean and mean with your budget, you know, a lot of times, especially as young people, we want to accommodate a lot of luxury. So going out with our friends, traveling, going shopping, buying new clothes, getting our hair done, things like that, buying electronics. But when you take an assessment of your budget, or if you are not yet budgeting, pull your bank statements, pull your credit card statements for the last 3 months, get a highlighter, and start to, you know, see what are the areas where you found yourself spending a lot of money that wasn't necessarily a need. You know, it was more of a want that you could do without. And maybe you don't completely eliminate it from your life, but instead you make a conscious effort that you're going to cut the spending on that category in half. And then the last thing I would say is when it comes to, you know, your earnings, it's not about how much you earn. It's about developing the right money habits and building consistency and doing your best with what you have, because it doesn't matter how much you earn. If you're not good with money, you can make 7 figures, you can make 6 figures a year, and you can still have nothing because you never actually learned how to manage your finances. So start learning how to save, how to budget, start practicing, start reading financial books,
You know, YouTube is a great resource to watch videos on personal finance. You can get books on Amazon from your library and start reading about personal finance and start to educate yourself and implement what you're learning in your own personal life with your personal finances.
And as we start to wrap up, Bola, you mentioned, I think it was Mint.com, a free app to help us budget. Any other apps that can help make it easy to tackle what can look like a really big issue when it comes to couples and money?
Yeah, so Mint is a great app. There is another app called You Need a Budget. That's a great app that you can leverage to manage your finances. When it comes to things like checking your credit scores, a lot of banking apps actually offer free credit score checking within them. And then your banking apps also, for instance, Bank of America, within the app, they give you the option to review your spending and create a budget there, so you can leverage that as well.
We'll leave it there for now, Bola. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That was Bola Shakunbi. She's a certified financial education instructor and the founder and CEO of Clever Girl Finance. She was with us to talk about tips and strategies for dealing with money in relationships.